All right, so Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Lech Lecha. When we come back to Avram Avinu, Parshas Lech Lecha, we've discussed so many of the tremendous yesodos, so many fundamental ideas to Judaism come up in this Parsha, and many, many mefarshim. Certainly many achronim say that obviously the fundamentals of Judaism have to come out in this Parsha because we're introduced to the first member of the Jewish people. We're introduced to Avram Avinu, then his wife Sarah, and his nephew Lot, debatable whether he was a member of the Jewish people or not. Ultimately, we know that his descendants will become members of the Jewish people through Rus HaMoaviyah. But for now, we want to focus just on the very beginning, right? All the Mefarshim say that Avram Avinu, we know, had a life before Lech Lecha. The Medrash portrays it. The Rambam actually quotes it in the beginning, an interesting place in the laws of idolatry. The Rambam traces the early history of the world, ultimately to Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu is the one that recognizes God on his own, that tries to turn the world away from idolatry, as opposed to maybe some other monotheists who live at the time, who didn't take this task upon themselves. We know there's the famous story of Avram Avinu being thrown into the fire by Nimrod for his refusal to give up on his monotheistic beliefs, and yet all of that is left out. All of that is left out, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out that why is that all left out? Because this is the first dibur, this is the first speech that Hashem has to Avram Avinu, and this is the first mitzvah, meaning everything that happened up until this point was Avram Avinu as an individual. When Hashem appears to Avram Avinu and gives him a command, this is now Avram Avinu as the founder of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people. And therefore, we've discussed this from many Mefarshim in the past, but we're going to revisit just an idea of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and others say very similar ideas, also ideas of Rav Soloveitchik in this very, very first pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artcha u'mimoladcha mi'beis avicha, ela aretz asher areka. So we know that there are a number of difficulties with this pasuk, but first and foremost is that Hashem doesn't tell Avram where he's going. He just says, go. Go, and it's commanded in the negative. Go away from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's home, to the land that I will show you. So this is the very first command of the Jewish people to symbolize the essence of Am Yisrael. So what is this doing? Some have pointed out that in this pasuk, even later on in the parsha is going to come the Bris Ben Abisarim, the covenant that Hashem creates with Avram Avinu, but in his very first command to the very first Jew, what do we find? We find the restless nature, the nomadic nature of the Jew, that unfortunately we're not really settled. Hashem says, go to the land that I'm going to show you, and he doesn't tell him where. And according to some Rishonim, actually, he didn't just go to Eretz Canaan. He was like going to different lands. He's like, okay, I guess this isn't where God wants me to be. And ultimately comes to Eretz Canaan, and Hashem says, this is where you're supposed to be. This is where you're supposed to be. And Maisa of Asimon Labanim, we know that Jews travel all over the world. The Jews have lived in many countries all over the world. But ultimately we know that there's one place, the Haaretz Asher Areka. To Avram it was a mystery, but to us it's clear. And Mefarshim say that everywhere a Jew goes, right, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. Wherever we go, ultimately know what the destination is. So we could go in a lot of stops all across the world. We could go to Shanghai. We could go to Melbourne, Australia. But ultimately we know what the destination is. The destination is ultimately Eretz Yisrael. When we get there, we don't know when we're going to get there. But we know that's the journey that we're taking. The journey that was not known to Avram Avinu was revealed to us. And in fact, that is a little bit of a distinction that we find in the Parsha, because it's in Perek Yudbeis Pasuk Zayin. We'll come back to Pasuk Aleph, don't worry. But it's in Perek Yudbeis Pasuk Zayin when Hashem says, Vayera el Hashem el Avram, Vayomer lezarecha etein es aretz hazos, to your children I will give this land. And then turn to Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Ches, on page 68. On the bottom it says, Bayom Hahu Karas Adonai Es Avram Bris Lemar, Lazaracha nasati es aratazos. Minahar Mitzrayim ad hanahar hagadol nahar peras. Hashem tells Avram that I have given your descendants this land. So here's a distinction that in the beginning when Avram Avinu is commanded by God to go and ultimately comes to Eretz Canaan and Hashem appears to him and says, I will give this land to your children. Towards the end of the parasha we find the Bris Bein Abisarim, when the covenant was sealed, Karas Hashem es Avram Bris Leimar, Lazaracha Nasati es Aretz Azos. I have given your children this land. So at the beginning of the parsha, it was this unknowable journey, but it's ours. It was given to us. And we know that Rashi famously tells us in the beginning of the Torah that all of Bereishis is about that one pasuk. All of Bereishis is about this pasuk. Lazaracha nasati es aretz hazos. Why do we have to have all the story? So we know Rashi says, koach masav higid la'amo, loseis lahem nachlas goyim, to show all of the nations of the world. Everything is Hashem's, Lashem la'aretzim lo, and Hashem gave it to us. Lazaracha nasati es aretz hazos. And there are those that say that at that moment, when Hashem gave it to Avram Avinu, that's when it was no longer Eretz Canaan, but it was Eretz Yisrael. That was the shift in that moment of Haftacha, in that promise. But it wasn't a promise. Hashem says, Nasati, I've given it. It was already given over at that point. And that created the essential connection between every Jew and Eretz Yisrael, right? That no matter where every Jew goes, wherever they are, they're on the way to Eretz Yisrael. But and again, that in this very first commandment, though, it is alluding, it's foreshadowing a long, long, tumultuous history of the Jewish people, of just wandering around. But at the same time, Rav Soloveitchik says that the commandment to go on a physical journey was not really what this was about. The commandment here is really to go on a spiritual journey. That's what he's telling Avram Avinu. Lech lecha. Go for you, but many interpret it, go to you, right? That Avram Avinu has to go through a transformational journey here. And that's why the Torah doesn't tell us where he's going. The Torah did tell us where he's going. You know what? Lecha, go to you. That's where you have to find yourself. But how do you do that? From removing yourself from Artzecha, removing yourself from Moladetcha, removing from yourself Mibes Avicha. So what does that mean? So we've discussed it in different contexts before. Artzecha is Artzius. Remove yourself from the very, very physical nature that defines human beings, right? So often we want, I'm only human. What do you want, I'm only human? Right? What does that mean? What do you want, I'm only human? I'm a monkey that can talk. No, we don't believe in Homo sapiens. We don't believe in that we're just talking monkeys. We me'artzecha. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Go to yourself. Discover, Avram Avinu, that you're not bound by the physical, right? And we know, of course, that many point out this is why, in fact, the very first transmission of the Jewish people, the very first generation created of the Jewish people, was done in a miraculous fashion, right away, to show that Avram and Sarah and the Jewish people are above Artzius. We're above the physical, right? Hashem lifts Avram Avinu above the stars to show that, yeah, there's a mazel, there is some type of, the horoscopes have something to them, right? But you're above that. Ein mazel li Yisrael, right? We go beyond that as the Jewish people as a whole. And that's why when in the process of self-discovery, the first thing we have to realize is we're able to go above Artzecha. We're able to rise above being merely talking chimps, talking monkeys, physical beings. Umimolad, although, you know, those feet that they can use as hands are actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's pretty geschmack. But umimoladetcha, and you're coming from your birthplace. What does this mean? We know Avram wasn't in his birthplace. Avram was in Haran. He was born in Ur Kasdim. Mm-hmm. So what is imumaladetcha? Imumaladetcha is very obvious, the environment that you're in. It's so easy to say that I'm a product of my environment. What do you know? There's one. What do you mean? I'm only a person. The second thing is, what do you expect? Everyone's doing it. There's no argument that everyone's doing it, right? What does it mean? Everyone's doing it. Mimoladcha, you can rise above your environment. The fact that everyone's doing it means nothing. You don't have to do that just because everyone's doing it. right? We're not lemmings. That's the second. Lech lecha, go to yourself and don't define yourself by other people. Be you. Don't be you, right? The famous saying they quote in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter or the Kotzker Pashas of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. If I am I because I am I and you are you because you are you, then I am I and you are you. But if I am I because you are you and you are you because I am I, then I am not truly I and you are not truly you, right? Now say that fast three times and then you'll certainly, right? But what does that mean? That lech lecha, if you're going to discover you, it has nothing to do with people around you. You are not a product of your environment. You are a product of yourself, right? And then we come to the third level, Mibeis Avicha. You know, I remember, I've often said the first time I sat with my therapist and the first thing he said to me was, so tell me about your parents. And I started laughing. I'm like, ha ha ha. He's like, what's so funny? I'm like, that's pretty much a cliche, isn't it? He's like, well, let's see. And again, my parents are wonderful people, but it's fascinating. It's fascinating how much you discover about yourself when you recognize about Mibeis Avicha, when you recognize things about how you grew up. But here Hashem is telling Avram, and this is the last one, because this is the hardest. Physical, we can lift ourselves above the physical. Everyone around you, we can see the whole world doing whatever and say, you know what, we're not. But then the hardest is Mibeis Avicha. The hardest is Beis Avicha. To rise above the chinuch that we brought up with. And again, I don't, whatever that is for everyone, there's so many permutations, there's so many variables, so many X factors of what that can mean. But that's the third thing, that if you want to be you, then you have to be able to rise up above all three. You have to rise up above the physicality of it. You have to rise up above the environmental influences. And third, and most difficult, is of course the very, very impressionable experiences that we have as young children could leave marks, could leave impressions for decades. But here Hashem is saying, Lech Lecha, and even rise up and be Beis Avicha. Right? And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so many tzaddikim talk about this, that this is the first commandment to a Jew. You know why? Because this is what we can do. We can rise above this. And we spoke a little bit about it last week. But when you think about the lives that the Jewish people have lived just since Churban Bayis Sheni, we don't have to go all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But you know what? We don't even have to go to Churban Bayis Sheni. We could go 100 years ago. Less than 100 years ago. The lives that people lived to rise above Artzacha, to rise above Mulaadetcha, to rise above Miveis Avicha. Talk about the difficult childhoods that some of the grandparents here had, you know, grandparents, survivors, like unbelievable. That's the koach of a Jew. That's what it means to be from Zera Avram. That's what it means to be a descendant of Avram Avinu. This is what you're capable of. And this is what we can never sell ourselves short on, that we have this ability to rise above. And as we've pointed out many times in the past, of course there's a great dichotomy in the Parsha, because this is the first Tzivui to Avram Avinu, but yet who do we see in the Parsha fall to this exact issue? Lot, right? The Lot syndrome. The Lot syndrome that in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hei, the Pasuk says Avram took Sarah his wife, Lot his nephew, also his brother-in-law, and he was Sarah's brother, and all of their property. And then in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Vayal Avram mi Mitzrayim, page 58, Avram goes up from Egypt, hu ve'ishto v'chol asher lo, ve'lot imo anegba. Avram goes up from Egypt, him, his wife, everything he has, and Lot with him, anegba, to the south of Israel, right? And the Chama Leibowitz Zatzal, what does she point out? That there's a shift in the Pasuk. There's a subtle shift. What's the shift? That the first Pasuk is Avram, Sarah, Lot, their property. And the second Pasuk is, what?
Everything in that Lot.
Right, exactly. It's Avram, Sarah, their property, and then Lot. What happened? And all of a sudden, right after they get back to Israel, Lot can't be with Avram anymore. He needs to get away from Avram. He can't stand being near Avram. And the key, Nechama Lev, what it says is, you see, where does Lot choose to go? Avram tells him, listen, go wherever you want. I'll go to the other place. Absence sometimes makes the heart grow fonder. The Sefer Orcha Sadikim says that if you want to make sure you maintain a friendship, don't visit them too much. That's what he says. Don't visit the person too much, because otherwise, you know, familiarity can sometimes breed unhealthy emotional connections. So Lot, when he lifts up his eyes in Pasuk, in Perek, Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud, top of page 60, where does he go? Where does he go? He goes to Sodom and Amorah. Why? Because to him it's Kigan Hashem. It's like paradise. It's like God's garden, the Garden of Eden. But Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Exactly, Ilana. It's Kigan Hashem, Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Sodom and Amorah looks like the Garden of Eden to him. Because what does it remind him of? It reminds him of Egypt. What happened to Lot that all of a sudden when they get back to Israel, that he can't be with Avram anymore? And the Pasuk clearly is stating the shift in the nuance of the text. What happened? What happened was Lot was exposed to Egypt. Meaning, remember, Mimoladetcha? Don't be affected by your environment. Hashem tells Avram, go to yourself, rise up above your environment. Lot's not able to. And Lot, you know, like the country bumpkin who's walking around Times Square and just like, you know, just gets lost in the glitter and the gold and the bright lights of the big city. Lot goes down to Mitzrayim that we know was like the biggest metropolis in the world. It was, you know, the most advanced society. It was quite an immoral society. We know from many other psukim in the Torah. We know from the episode with Avram and Sarah that it was an immoral society in Paro. But Lot's attracted to it. And hence the Lot syndrome of seeing something and being so drawn to it. And that's exactly what Hashem warned Avram about. And Hashem told Avram, you don't have to be that. And we know, I mean, you just see what's going on in the news. You know, that an employee at Facebook, I don't know if anyone's holding in this, but she basically shared with the federal government that Facebook knows that Instagram is dangerous for teenage girls. They have the data. It's dangerous. It's mamish dangerous. Because it puts these images out there. Mamish, we live in a society that, what's society about? Trying to create mimoladetcha, that it should be an environment to get people to view themselves differently, to want to view themselves a certain way. And social media is incredibly, incredibly addictive and incredibly influential and dangerous. The amount of mental illness, they're saying Instagram, This one site has caused teenage girls' body issues, so many issues that it's caused. They have hard data on it. They have hard facts on it. And she went to the federal government to talk about it. We're living in a society where the whole society is the Lot syndrome. The Lot syndrome of Mimoladetcha. And that's why Mibeis Avicha, you know, obviously we get imprinted early on from the experiences in our home growing up. Today, more than ever, because of the access to an environment that you can be exposed to all types of environments and all dangerous types of environments through our phones, through our smartphones. And again, I'm not saying it's the devil. I'm not saying it's the Satan. There's a lot of good that you can do, right, with these things. But we have to recognize the danger of environment has never been this alluring and been this accessible to us. It used to be you wanted to go somewhere dangerous, you know, like somewhere alluring, somewhere, you know, you actually had to get on a bus. I mean, from Staten Island, you had to get on a bus to the ferry, to Manhattan, to, you know. Now, you want all types of, what? Oh, you're saying you're getting an Uber to go anywhere. But you don't have to go anywhere. The whole world's here. The whole world's in your pocket. The whole world is crazy. So this is something that when we talk about the very first commandment to the very first Jew, we see that this is the challenge of what it is to be a Jew. And that's why Hashem says, Ela aretz asher areka, meaning Hashem tells Avram, I'm going to show you under Salvechik has something fascinating, that why doesn't Hashem tell it to Avram? Because the process of seeking holiness has to be a process that you're working on. Can't be like, okay, here's the goal, now just go. No. You have to seek it out yourself. And Hashem wanted to see if Avram could actually discern the holiness of Eretz Canaan. And according to some, that Avram was drawn to Eretz Canaan. Again, he said, some said he was going around to a bunch of lands until he gets there. And Hashem says, stop. Rav Soloveitchik said, there are those who say that Avram was drawn to Eretz Canaan. He knew there was something there. He could sense that there was something there. But the Eretz Asher Areka, and this is something Lubavitcher Rebbe says, that the shift from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Yisrael, to refer to it as Artenu HaKadosha. One second. How do we refer to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz HaKodesh? Artenu HaKadosha, our holy land. By definition, what's a land? By definition, we said, Lech Lecha Me'aretzcha. Hashem tells Avram, rise up above the land. What does that mean? So now there's Eretz HaKodesh. There's holy land. What's holy about the land? You know, they say there's stories of Rav Kook, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the first chief rabbi of the modern settlement in Israel, even before it was a state, when it was Palestine, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, because there was no Palestine until just a few years before the state of Israel. So Rav Kook, one time they were driving to a speaking engagement that he was supposed to go somewhere, and the car broke down, and they were waiting for someone to come and pass by, because this, remember, can you imagine there was a time before you just called someone, my car broke down, where are you? I'll just send you my location, you know? It's like crazy, right? And this was maybe not even 100 years ago. That's what last week's parsha, right? About the wisdom and everything just very quickly pouring into this world. The advances in science and technology, wild. So finally someone came by, was helping them fix the car. They fix the car. They don't know where Rav Kook is. They're looking for Rav Kook. And they don't know where he is. And they're looking, they don't see him. They're walking around and they see him. He's laid down, spread out on the ground, hugging the dirt in a field. And he's talking to it. And he's kissing the ground. And this was like Artzeinu HaKadosha, our holy land. You know, talk about Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah, all the Peiros Haaretz, the Kedusha in Peiros Haaretz. Rav Wolfson talks at Lent, Rav Moshe Wolfson, Mashgiach HaTorah Das, the holiness of eating the Peiros Haaretz. Especially, some say there's a mitzvah to eat Peiros Shviyas. Again, don't go looking for them in Costco. And, you know, it raises other issues. I would tell you, maybe be careful and maybe don't buy them if you see them just this year. We'll see. You know, Ashley Blaker, the comedian, has a hilarious bit about that when he said when he was working at the BBC in a comedy show. So he said that it was a Shemitah year, and he had one of the people going out to a restaurant to go buy him some vegetables, and he yells to the person, oh, just make sure they're not from Israel. Make sure. And he felt like, ooh, he's such an anti-Semite. The BBC, everyone's cheering for him. This Jew is saying that. But he was like, he realized, like, because of Shemitah, and it's a whole headache. And he's like, his Rav told him, yeah, just avoid Peiros from Israel. You don't know how it came. Whatever it is. So he said, yeah, he realized after he sounded like a big anti-Semite that one.
People are saying that next year, like, people are saying
right, it's
that,
not,
that next
it's,
year is going to be so complicated.
Next year is still going to be complicated. It's still going to be complicated. It's complicated already now.
Right. Okay.
Trust me. It's very... No, next year is not as complicated.
Oh, okay.
No, this is the Shemitah year itself is the much harder year, the much more confusing year. Yeah, no, next year, okay. It's actually related to today's daf Yomi.
Okay, well,
so you ask Eitan about the today's daf, but yeah, we're not going to get into that so much. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe, meaning El Aretz Asher Areka, meaning Hashem said, I'm going to show you a unique land. That's a land that when I'm going to give it to you, it's no longer Eretz Canaan. Now it's Eretz HaKodesh. Now it's Eretz Yisrael. And the whole name of Yisrael, right? Why do we call it Eretz Yisrael? So on a obviously, because Yisrael is the name of the nation, B'nai Yisrael, but on a deeper level, the idea of Yisrael, what is Yisrael? Ki sarisa imelakim ba'anashim batuchal. The name Yisrael means struggle against our base elements and even against ideals. So Eretz Yisrael, it's a land that you're going to take through the struggle. That's what it is. When Avram is told, Lech lecha me'artach m'ladcha mi'b'yes avicha el artz asher areka, Hashem is not telling him it's going to be easy. Hashem is just telling him, this is what you can do. This is what you are capable of. You know, we said this idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe a few years ago. I don't know how many years ago, but I'm pretty sure we said it because in my Sefer it was like marked up. So I'm pretty sure we said it once upon a time. But Lubavitcher Rebbe says also, that's why Lech Lecha means we have to be in constant state of movement. We have to be constantly moving forward. But also, Lech Lecha, we always move forward. Alev Itzlach, to go up and to be successful. But he says, Avram Avinu comes into the land and he builds a Mizbeach in the land. But then what happens? What happens when he gets to the land? We know, Pasuk Yud. Vahi Rav Baretz. He gets to the land. He brings a sacrifice in the land, right? Vayiven Misham Mizbeach Hashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. He calls in Hashem's name. He's traveling throughout the land. Vahi Rav Baretz, Vayir Avram Mitzroyim. Right? There's a famine in the land, and Avram leaves the land. He goes to Egypt because it was too bad. It was too difficult, and it's machlokes we've shown him, whether it was bad, whether it was good. Right? The Ramban said it was bad. He shouldn't have left. The Radak defends Avram Avinu. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe just says, I understand, Lech Lecha, Hashem tells him, go and be successful and keep going up. And he comes in, and he's in the Holy Land. And what happens? He has to leave the Holy Land. He has to, which is soon after he gets there. He has to leave it. What a kill! Like, what? Really? How was this Lech Lecha? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, and this was a yisod I think we said a couple of years back, but it fits in this idea that this isn't meant to be simple. Yes, Lech Lecha means we're on a journey, but it doesn't mean that we're going to get to the promised land and it's going to be perfect. It's actually going to be very difficult in the promised land, right? For Dessler, the Michtam Elio, when he made Aliyah from England, I think in the 1950s, you know, and he went back to visit England. So they said, tell us about Eretz Israel. He said, one thing I'll tell you about Eretz Israel. If you go to Israel without an ironclad commitment, that's it, I'm staying here, you're not going to stay there. Because Eretz Israel is difficult. It's difficult. It's difficult to, you know, obviously things have gotten a lot better. They have good orange juice. They have good toilet paper now. They have good tuna fish now. Things have changed. Things have changed, you know. So now it's very easy, right? No. But the idea that the Lech Lecha, the journey that we're on in life, and yes, we can rise above these things, but it doesn't mean it's going to be without difficulty. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. But specifically, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, through those difficulties, you'll be Megala the Panemius. You'll reveal what's inside. And we know, it's Mesil Susharm writes, which is also the essence of Avram Avinu. The Mesil Susharm says, why are we in this world? Why are we in this world? What are we here for? So part of the mission statement is that we're here lamod b'nisayon. We're here to stand through tests, to suffer through nisyonos. And obviously we don't ask for nisyonos, but that's a challenge. And Avram Avinu, his whole life is nisayon. Nisayon after nisayon. Yaakov Avinu, his life. I mean, again, you know, we've said this many times that tov doesn't mean easy, right? Tov means good. We refer to the book of Bereshis. You know, we said, Avinu Malkeinu Kasveinu B'Sefer Chaim Tov, and many say that's referring to Bereshis. The good life, who had a good life in Bereshis? No one had a good life in Bereshis. Who had a good life in Bereshis? Avram Tzar can have a kid, then there's Hagar, then Yishmael, and then Yitzchak. Who had a good life? Which one of the Avos had a good life? No one did. So what is Chaim? I mean, based on our definition, but they all had good lives. They didn't have easy lives, right? As we said, a couple, but they had good lives. And that's what the beginning of the parasha is telling us. That's the beginning of the parasha. We have time to continue? Yeah, let's get a little bit. It's a little bit. Like, so let's look at Perek Yizayin. Because the Lubavitcher Rebbe does have a beautiful, beautiful Torah here. And this, we come, the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha really close on each other. Because the beginning of the parasha is the first tzivui to a Jew. The first commandment to a Jew, right? Lech lecha me'artcha mu'adcha mi'veis avicha el ha'art asher ereka. Right? Hashem sets Avram on a journey of self-discovery, a journey of breaking boundaries. And then we come to the end of the parsha, right? Where Avram Avinu, Hashem tells him, Vayhi Avram ben tishim shana v'sei shashanim. Avram is 99 years old. Vayero adunoy el Avram. Hashem appears to Avram. Vayomer elav and says to him, Ani el Shaddai. I am that name of God, right? His alech lefanai v'heyei samim. Walk in front of me, v'heyei samim, and you will be complete, right? And what is he introducing to Avram Avinu right now? He's giving him the mitzvah of bris milah, right? There was the bris bein habesarim. There was the covenant with all of the Jewish people earlier about the national destiny. But now is the sign of bris milah, which is a very personal thing, but also obviously a symbol of the relationship, right? The covenant of Avram Avinu. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out that what does the word tamim mean? He suggests that there are three different meanings to the word tamim. It's used three different ways throughout Torah. And he says the first, tamim, means to be without blemish, without defect. That's what tam means. You know, and like Seder night, we talk about the tam, we talk about a chacham, we talk about a rasha, we talk about a tam. And Sheinu Yodei Lishaal, how do you understand the tam on Seder night? Right? He's not a rasha, but he's not a wise one. Who's the tam? He's the simple, perfect, you know, simple, simple, without a blemish, without blemishes, without chisronos, but there's nothing special. But then he brings up that there are times that the word tamim doesn't just mean without blemish, but tamim means that the person has a certain perfection, right? That there's a certain concept of tamimus, of wholeness, that doesn't mean without blemish, it doesn't mean without deficiency, but it means perfect, it means really whole, right? That it's the tamimus b'shleimus, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. It's like complete wholeness, right? That's a different level. But then he says, we have a pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says, towards the end of the parasha, in Sefer Dvarim, which brings a new meaning to tamimus, tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. That you should be tamim with Hashem, your God. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that, yes, these are all three different stages of a personal relationship with Hashem, that he says is symbolized in different parts of the mitzvah bris milah, but he says, again, like Rav Soloveitchik said about the first tzivui, that the first tzivui to Avram Avinu wasn't so much about a physical journey, but it was about a spiritual journey. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, of course, it's related to stages in the physical mitzvah bris milah, but the physical mitzvah bris milah is actually about spiritual awakening, right? That everyone has, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu warns us against an arla, but an arla known as the arla salev, a covering that we have over our heart. And so Lubavitcher Rebbe says that when Avram Avinu is told, "Hishalich lefanai v'heyeh samim," walk in front of me, and you will be tamim. So right here, Hashem is revealing to Avram that there are different levels in the relationship when you're going to walk in front of Hashem. So one level to be able to walk in Hashem means without sin, right? Without blemish, to remove the negativity, sur meira, remove those things. But then he says, but would you say that person is tamim? That person is complete? That person is whole? They don't have sins, right? You removed the blemish. But does that mean the person is betachlis hashleimus of tamimus, the essence of what wholeness is supposed to be? No. Because to reach that, what do you have to do? There's a certain life of holiness that a person has to live, right? That's a different level of tamimus. That's tamimus on a higher level. But then you come to the third level. And what's the third level? What's tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha? And this, in some ways, is again, this is why it closes in the beginning of the parasha. It's reflecting the beginning of the parasha. That you have to recognize throughout life, hishalich lefanai, that you're always walking in front of me. If as long as you remember you're always walking in front of me, as long as you remember that I'm always there behind you, I'm you know, we say, b'shem Hashem el-kei shom nimini michol mismolei gavriel mefarvel roshi shchinas chkel. But here the pasuk says that there are malachim all around us, and on top of us is the divine presence. But here, what's the pasuk telling us? Hishalich lefanei ve'yei samim. This is the highest level. And again, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, this is kabbalas ol, this is accepting that what happens in life, we don't understand, we can struggle with it, but this is the highest level of tamimus. That in life, is halich lefanai ve'yeh samim. That when you're going to go in front of me, you're going to be whole, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says later on. That what's the essence of tamim? Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. You know how we can reach the apex, the spitz of tamim, the absolute ideal of tamim, of mamish, wholeness and completeness in the greatest sense, only when it's im Hashem Elokecha. That everything that's going on, you recognize. And again, this is such yesod for the Jewish people. This is why this is yesod. Think about our history, right? Think about Jewish history. Think about it, how many times in Jewish history it's a miracle that the Jewish people didn't just pick up and say, okay, God, we're done. And I always think about that old Mel Brooks joke, you know, God, we're the chosen nation, choose another nation for a little bit. You know, choose someone else for a couple of centuries. Because, I mean, when you think about Jewish history, it's, and again, this is the first Jew. This is the foreshadowing of everything. That's Bris Bein Abisarim about the exile that we're going to be through. And there are many allusions here. If you remember, we spoke about, I think this was last year. Did we do last year the Igra the Kala? How the war of the four kings and the five kings in the Parsha is all about Mashiach. Right? No? Go back. I don't know if I posted it in Yad Torah. But it's Kedai. That Igra the Kala is awesome. It's an awesome Igra the Kala. The Bnei Yisachar. Because this is the Parsha of Jewish history. This is the first Jew. So everything is wrapped up in it. It has to be. And so here, this is the lesson for us of what it means to be a Jew. Of through the struggle of what we can rise above. Of and again, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, and you don't need the Rebbe said this probably 40 years ago, that the darkness has never been this great. You know, the darkness, the fantasies, the things that are, I mean, what does it mean darkness? That which is hiding God's presence. You know, in so many ways, do you have to struggle to see God in today's world? There's so many things that can confuse us, so many things that can take us away from Elokus, right? But at the same time, that means as the journey gets more difficult, and as we're getting closer and closer, the opportunities to reveal light is that much greater. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing. We're in the bottom, you know, using a sports analogy, we're in whatever, last quarter, bottom of the ninth, whatever it is. This is where we are in Jewish history. This is where we are in Jewish history. And so we have to go back to our beginning. We have to go back to our beginning, because Parshas Lech Lech is our beginning, and we can understand ultimately how we'll get through the end. Shkoyach, everyone.